And welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall here in Studio A with our theater critic, Jay Wynn Russick. And Judy, we're going to talk about a new show from Mott and Bailey. It's called Caesar Americana. Is that Shakespeare's Julius Caesar? And if it is, what does Americana have to do with it?
It is Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. It's produced by this fairly new local company called Mott and Bailey. And one of the things that this company does is mashups, combining a Shakespeare play with modern day music. They did a mashup of Hamlet and Black Parade last fall, and now they are doing a mashup of Julius Caesar with folk music, with Appalachian music, and Bob Dylan and Johnny Cash and Bruce Springsteen songs. The Shakespeare text has been adapted by Hannah Fogler, who also directed the show, and she plays Caesar's wife. One of the interesting things Fogler has done is to expand the role of the soothsayer, mostly through song. This is a singing soothsayer. You remember the soothsayer is the character who warns Caesar, beware the Ides of March. As it happened, I saw this production on the eve of the Ides of March, but I'm not going to tell you to be aware, beware of this show. I'm going to tell you to make every effort to see it. It's visceral. It's accessible. It's highly entertaining. Getting back to the soothsayer, the role is played by Siobhan Beckett. Beckett has a powerful voice, more a rock voice than folk. I brought an excerpt of her singing Dylan's The Times They Are A-Changing. This song crops up repeatedly. Let's listen.
'Cause the battle outside is raging, we'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls, for the times they are a-changing, the times they are a-changing.
It's Siobhan Beckett in Caesar Americana. She can sing. That's a Mott and Bailey production. It's at the Fells Point Corner Theater. So you call the music to this show modern day. Is this an updated production? You know, does it take place in Appalachia instead of ancient Rome? What do they do to the setting?
Well, it's definitely not ancient Rome. The theater bills it as set in an alternate post-World War I Appalachia. I have to admit, I did not get the post-World War I connection. The costumes, however, include T-shirts and jeans and flannel shirts. But there's also another connection between Shakespeare's text and Mott and Bailey's version of it, and that's superstitions. I mentioned the soothsayer. Plus, as you may remember, when Caesar's wife tries to keep him from going to the Senate on the Ides of March, she gives a list of bad omens. There are also a lot of Appalachian superstitions, so those tie in. Several are woven into this production. They're also described in the program, some things I didn't know. For instance, acorns are good luck, blue doors protect houses from demons, bottle trees, those are trees with bottles stuck on the ends of the branches, bottle trees also ward off evil spirits. There's a good luck acorn or two in the show, and there's a blue door and a bottle tree on the set.
There you go, a bottle tree. That's a new one to me. I never heard of those. You mentioned that some of the cast members wear jeans. Actually, so does most of the audience. but of course, not the usual Shakespearean garb. How does Mott and Bailey handle Shakespeare's, you know, poetic Elizabethan English? Do they modernize it? What do they do?
No, they really don't modernize it, but they handle it quite well. In fact, there are some Shakespeare scholars who have claimed that the Appalachian accent is a good model for actors performing Shakespeare. There's also a parallel between Elizabethan English and Appalachian when it comes to syntax. That said, Carlos Del Valle, who plays Caesar, is the only actor who speaks with an Appalachian accent. His Caesar also comes across as vain, maybe getting vainer. A bigger point is that the action and the language and the characters remain clear even when women are playing male characters. For example, Cassius is played by Emily Klassen. Octavius Caesar is played by Jessica Praktor. But the major interpretive change I noticed is in Mark Antony. Antony is played by Lance Bankard, and he starts out heated and angry and overwrought, maybe a bit crazed. By the time he delivers his funeral oration, Bankard's Antony has become cooler and calculating. When he reads Caesar's will to the crowd, there's more than a suggestion that he's not sincere, that maybe he's making things up. But this isn't an entirely new interpretation. It is, however, especially interesting in a production where just about everybody seems to be conniving. Brad Norris plays Bruce as one of the only assassins of Caesar who has a bit of a conscience. Standing off to the side, he watches the other assassins kill Caesar. Norris's Brutus almost looks uncertain, but then he really gets into it. I mentioned connivers. The main conniver, of course, is Cassius, played by Emily Klassen. Klassen's Cassius has monomania when it comes to replacing Caesar. This is a Cassius who is joyous during the assassination. I have an excerpt from the speech that Cassius gives to Brutus when he's trying to convince him that Caesar has grown too powerful. Let's listen.
But wherefore do you keep me here so long? What is it you would impart?
Well, honor is the subject of my story. I cannot tell what you and other men think of this life, but for my single self, I had as lief not be as live to be in awe of such a thing as I myself. I was born free as Caesar, so were you. We both have fed as well, and we can both endure the winter's cold as well as he. This man is become a god, and Cassius is a wretched creature and must bend his body if Caesar but carelessly nod on him.
That's Emily Klassen plays Caesar in Caesar Americana along with Brad Norris. It's a Mott and Bailey production, but it's at the Fells Point Corner Theater. So tell us about the staging.
And I also want to say Emily Klassen there was playing Cassius.
Cassius, right? Or did I say something different?
Caesar.
Oh, sorry, not Caesar.
See, that's Cassius. How ambitious Cassius is.
There you go. Yeah, Cassius. My apologies. Yeah.
This is a very well thought out production, and Hannah Fogler's skill as a director is evident throughout the production. In the assassination scene, first the conspirators mime the murder, then comes the murder itself. It's not gory, but it is very violent. And she also gets the quieter scenes. For example, when Caesar is with his worried wife, whom she portrays, Fogler portrays.
How about the band and the music? Does the music kind of, figure prominently, organically? I mean, you mentioned it's got Appalachian and Dylan and all that kind of stuff. How does it work?
It figures very prominently. In fact, you could call this Caesar, an Americana musical. The band is led by Greg Bell, six terrific musicians, strings and percussion. The Times They Are Changing is the most prominent song. It shows up a couple times and also is underscoring. This is probably the most organic musical choice. There's another song choice that is close to literal. It's an opening number called Dogs of War, an expression that Shakespeare originated in Julius Caesar. The song is sung by, this is a song created by an American musician named Blues Cercino. The chorus is, I can't stop the dogs of war. So the show is bookended by Dogs of War, which is dark, and The Times They Are Changing, which can suggest hope. That's the trajectory of this very inventive production. Amen. I'm not going to promise that you'll leave hopeful, but you will leave impressed.
All right. Mott and Bailey's production of Caesar Americana. It's at the Fells Point Corner Theater until Saturday. So thanks, Judy. Appreciate it. And that's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, guest host Gabe Ortiz will talk with an imam about the end of Ramadan, plus a contentious Republican primary is happening in Baltimore County. Gabe will talk to John Lee about that. And Wamboy Kamau will talk about a Bowie hair braiding business that is booming. So stay tuned now for Fresh Air. Midday's director and engineer, Shania Mapson, Sam Burmistaws, and Rob Sivek. Produce our program, WYPR's executive producer is Amy Walters. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. I'm Tom Hall. I'll be back with you Tuesday when my guest will be Johns Hopkins Professor Anna Harwell Chalenza. We'll talk about her new book called On the Record, Music That Changed America. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Midday on 88.1 WYPR.